Welcome to the Virtual Team Heroes podcast. Here you will get insights and inspiration what your business needs to succeed in the digital work environment. Welcome to another episode of the Virtual Team Heroes podcast. And today this is a bit special episode because I would like to talk about management 3.0 practice. It's the Kudo Cards. And I would like to share experience and learnings how to use Kudo Cards in a virtual team in a remote work environment. And I don't want to do this alone. It's more fun to have somebody with me to talk about it and share experience. And for that, I invited Nadia Harris, remote advocate, to share her experience and to talk and discuss our experience and to bring it together. So Nadia, many thanks that you have time today to do this podcast about the Kudo Cards, and maybe introduce yourself, just 3 sentences, what you're doing, who you are, so that people know you better.
Hello. Thank you very much, Nadine, for inviting me. It's always a great pleasure to chat with one another, especially these days. And I have to share a secret with all of our listeners. We do chat every once in a while.
Yes. Yeah, because we're good friends in the pandemic, let's say it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's very true. So yes, as Nadine introduced me, my name is Nadia Harris and I'm the founder of remoteworkadvocate.com. What I do in a nutshell, my mission is to destroy unconscious bias about remote work with knowledge. So I perform remote work, remote ready company audits, assessments to see whether a company is at that right stage to move on and implement the remote work model, whether it's remote first, whether it's hybrid, that really doesn't matter. You have to be ready. You have to know where you are, where you want to be, and what your motivation is. Not that you just follow other companies that do it now because it's fashionable, okay? And I also help with remote talent strategies as well, with leadership. Basically, I've worked remotely for many, many years all around the world, and remote is a state of mind. That's what I say sometimes. And I strongly believe that if you do it right, then remote work gives you the ability, the luxury to design your life exactly the way you want it.
Yes, great. Yeah, remote work is a mindset. It's a lifestyle, a mindset, and it's great to have it. And the pandemic drives it more, I hope so, more in the world, and that companies and people take the opportunity to improve their remote work setting to be more happier in their life. That's my opinion about it. And happiness is a great word for Kudo Cards, and because it's connected with appreciation. And I think when you work in a remote work environment, we often forget to appreciate each other or to say thank you. And that's why I love the practice of sending out Kudo Cards to people. And maybe before we talk about the Kudo Cards, we can discuss more about extrinsic versus intrinsic motivation of people. Because I think long-term, people should have an intrinsic motivation to fulfill their work and to be happy. And the extrinsic motivation, like bonuses and money, only works in the short term. Or what's your experience about this, Nadia?
Exactly the same as you. So, no, but yeah, well, not what a coincidence. No, of course, it's exactly the way you're saying it. You know, I am a person who is known for challenging all kinds of company benefits, perks and benefits, not because I think that they're wrong. Okay. I just think that we completely lost common sense and we forgot what the principle of introducing those perks and benefits is. And that's really important. So the thing is that we should have this motivation that comes from us, that is something deeper and not just something that arises from external factors. If you're motivated from the inside, then you tend to engage in an activity because you enjoy it and it gives you personal satisfaction. And when somebody motivates you from the outside, then you only do something in order to get an external reward. So let's just maybe imagine a hypothetical situation. Well, not hypothetical, it actually happens in many people's lives. So imagine you have a child and you tell your child that if you behave, you're going to get a lollipop. Are you going to get candy? So then the child thinks, okay, yeah, I'm going to behave because I'm going to get a lollipop. I'm going to get candy. They, you know, they think about the benefit. They think about the incentive. And what happens? Then you go to a store, you go to a grocery store, and you sometimes see children yelling and screaming because they want this now. So what happens? It starts becoming something that we expect. And that's how I've observed for many years how the whole craziness and hustle around perks and benefits in companies is actually losing its purpose because exactly, people weren't thinking, why am I joining this company? Does it give me personal satisfaction? Do I believe in its mission, vision, development? Do my personal development goals are they similar to the goals of the company? They didn't even think about it. Everybody was just like on the marketplace. What are you going to give me extra to my salary to join? And this is ridiculous because then people keep doing this job hopping from one job to the other because they just think about this external reward.
Well, I think we have a massive shift at the moment. We have the traditional companies which reward with money or bonuses, or when you accomplish your goal to get your extra bonuses at the end of the year. So they're exchangeable because I compare, oh, I got more money at the other company, so I changed the company, because only companies which are creating to give people purpose and connect the work with their life goals, they are not exchangeable in the future, so people would stay. And I think people will go more for purpose, not for money. And they say, okay, I've got purpose, but less money in this company. I choose the purpose than the company where I get more money. I don't know if it's a career stage or at after university, you would like to have a career and earn money, but when you grow older, like me now in the mid-30s, you go more on purpose when you reflect life. And I think it's also during pandemic, people are now more anxious, they have panic, and they are stressed. So, and I think money won't help to reduce stress or panic. I think only when you give appreciation or say, just thank you, people are recognized and listened to, and then they can reduce the stress when they have a feeling of connectivity and, yeah, appreciation in the pandemic.
Yeah, I mean, I recently read a really interesting article, which made me think about appreciation and just sometimes spreading the good word. Because what does it really cost us to say someone that we enjoyed what they did, that we appreciated, to say something positive? It's sometimes really hard for us to say positive things to people. Just
it also depends on the culture.
Yes.
And in Germany, we don't say thank you or you're welcome. You say, oh, you have to do this.
Exactly. You know, like speed up.
Yes, no thanks.
Everybody's running, so you have to run faster, right?
Yeah.
In order to achieve something. And this is ridiculous, you know. And the problem is that this pushing, overworking culture that sometimes is the case, and that happens now a lot during the pandemic, because unfortunately, people were shifted to work from home, not even work remotely, but work from home, and that's a big difference, then they tend to overwork because they want to show their managers that, yes, we're hanging in, we are there. We want to show you that we are constantly responding to messages, even when we do some deep work, we get distracted because we want to respond. We want to show we're there, like you're sometimes in your office and you would walk back and forth down the hallway so that people can see you, that you're there, especially if you're late, right? I mean, I did that in the past, so that used to work well. But now when you work from home, it doesn't really make sense to do that. So sometimes even saying something good, if you say something good to someone, then that person will have that positive energy and share a good word as well, right? And that changes the whole surrounding, you know, and it's really that small, but it creates a big impact.
Yeah, and this impact is also that people have the feeling to have more self-control or self-direction when they receive a thank you. So, because when you get the bonus at the end of the year, you have to wait so long time to get a reward. So, and a thank you is just a small, effective reward you can give people for, and they are more intrinsic motivated to the work better and well. And yeah, what are kudo cards? Maybe would you like to explain what a kudo card is, Nadja?
Okay.
Or should I do this? I don't care.
Oh, that's okay. I mean, kudo card is a card.
Yeah, it's a physical card to say thank you and pin it on the wall.
What a no-brainer. Thank you very much for listening. Bye. No, I'm just kidding. No, so those are cards that we use to express appreciation within teams. Appreciation, yes, but I may say that I came across this, that sometimes you had a kudo card that said, to be improved, okay, like with a star. So basically to give feedback. So they improve and foster a feedback culture. Why? Because people want to be recognized and they want to be valued within their company. So, and the main cause, actually the main cause of the current demotivation, which comes across all the time. I keep getting questions, Nadja, how do I motivate and engage my team? Should I give them something? Should I buy them honey? I had these ridiculous ideas. What do you think about sending honey to people? You know, maybe so that they can drink tea with honey in the pandemic to feel better. I'm like, come on, like, this is a bit ridiculous. It's nice to do that. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. But you can't motivate or engage someone by sending them a jar of honey. So with kudo cards, for example, you give people this special feeling that they're getting recognition for their work. And that's what it's for.
Yeah, and it's easy. I think it's easier when you are in the local office or people together in the local office. I think you say more often thank you to people when you are in the office. Because you see, oh, you recognize it, you say thank you immediately. And in a remote work environment, I think managers and also team members often forget to say thank you. So it's a good practice to shift the whole thing also in a remote work environment, to send the kudo cards. In a local office, you see also the kudo wall is physical there. And this wall reminds you to send kudos or write a kudo card and pin it on the wall for somebody. And in a remote work environment, we forget it. What's your experience? How you can implement the kudo card practice in a remote work environment?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to say that you do have a kudo wall in your office if you work for a cool company.
Yes, it's a good practice. It's best practice. Not good practice, it's best practice. But it was an example. You can have a wall in the physical office and send and pin all the kudo cards on it.
You should do that. I mean, I just want to say one thing, because I am usually a person, I used to be a person who was very operational, like straight to the point, like do, move on, yes? Done or not done, go stop. And then I was thinking that all these practices are really not necessary, because it doesn't make sense. But I was super mistaken. So if you're listening to this and you think that kudo cards, this is really for somebody in the kindergarten, because
yeah, it's also feedback at, oh, it's kindergarten stuff.
Exactly.
Don't do this.
I just want to tell you, you're so mistaken that I'm sorry for you. No, that's true, because it's not about giving someone a card or a picture or saying thank you just because we behave like kids. Absolutely not. It's actually a transparent culture, and it's about feedback. It's about purpose. It's about a deeper meaning of what we do. I also see a lot that companies come to me these days and they say, okay, now we have our yearly appraisals. What do you think about yearly appraisals? You know, telling the employee whether they did right or wrong. We do it once a year. I said, this is complete bullshit in a remote environment. Don't do that, because if you neglect your people the whole year, I mean, neglect, literally don't even communicate with them. Don't even tell them what can be done better, what is done being done great, then how can you possibly remember at the end of the year how somebody's performance was? It's like you make the people wait over and over and over again, you know, year by year, to tell them something positive or negative based on, I really don't believe that you take notes of every situation that happened within the past 12 months and you tell somebody. That's just ridiculous. So kudo cards, excuse me, are just a great opportunity, because you asked me how to implement them in the remote environment, especially in the remote environment, because remote doesn't mean that we are robots. We can't make the remote environment miss the human touch, okay? And whoever is going to tell me that you can't connect remotely, you can't make friends, is mistaken too, because I've made amazing friends online and we have a great relation. For example, I met Nadine online, right?
Yeah, we never met in person.
Never,
exactly. Never, never, but we will.
Yes, we will when this is over. We have so many travel plans. Oh my gosh, that's going to be ridiculously crazy. I can't wait. So anyways, it's this way that you have different possibilities to implement it. Obviously, there are different tools online that I'll share with you in a second, but even when you work in the agile environment, right, which for sure I believe that you do. So for example, if you work in the agile environment or you work in sprints, right, then when you're agile, it means that you constantly receive feedback, you accept it and you change, right? So probably you do retrospectives every sprint, right? But there are also other activities that can really help you to motivate and a bit, I would say, spice up the whole feedback retro process. And those are kudo cards, right? So then you can really have these smart cards, small cards that tell you that your thank you, that's a great job, or you need to improve this and that. So it helps, it gives a more personal touch to everybody. It's very transparent. It gives you the feeling of purpose, of deeper meaning. And it also shows how the whole team performs. So this is if you work directly with sprints. But for example, if you want to, if you don't do that, you just have a remote company and people work different ways, probably you're agile too, but doesn't mean you have to use sprints. Yes. Okay? Then you can also have a kudo box, which is amazing. And they're the easiest one that you can Google right away. It's going to be kudo box.
Yeah, and the local environment would be a box.
Yeah.
You can put the kudo cards in. Yeah. The kudo.
Exactly. But you can also do it remotely.
You can do it remotely.
Exactly, that you can even check out to know what we're talking about. It's, for example, kudobox.co. Very simple. You don't even
have.
Yeah.
And there are also, I've researched some tools this year, how to set it up in a work in remote teams. And now there are also Microsoft Teams apps. Connect with your team channel, or you can open up a team channel only to send kudos to people and say ads and the name, and then people get a notification that a kudo is sent to him or her. And it's not, you don't need a card. You can set up a channel and send thank you ads. It also works as a kudo card for me, as a simple approach. Or in Microsoft Teams, you can set up a kudo wall connected with the planner, with task management, and a task completed, and you can send remark it as a kudo card. Or when you use Slack, you can have a Slack channel. These are some practices I see with clients. Do you have other practices you have with clients or in teams?
I mean, you know, you can also, by the way, when you talk about tools, we can even have a Trello board, right?
For example, yeah.
Depends which tool you use. If you don't use one of those that we've mentioned, then if you Google virtual kudo cards, I swear that there's going to be something.
Yeah, a lot of stuff.
Absolutely.
It's hard to find the right one for you. So do you it's connected with your tools. I find it important to connect it with your tools. So there's a connectivity in a Slack channel or in a Teams channel or to a Kanban system you use. I think when the tools are connected, it's easier for the people to use the tools or not forget to use a virtual Kudo card tool too. Yeah.
But it also helps people to be engaged even in online meetings, you know, because when you know that there's going to be kudos, then they know that it's going to be more personal, not that I'm just sitting at the meeting, for example, all hands, right, or town halls, depending. So you can choose an event when you want to reveal the kudo cards. So as I said, can be a town hall, can be all hands, if it's a larger scale, okay? You can even do it within your team, that's fine. So you can do it weekly, you can do it monthly. You can even post it on a kudos board online, if that's fine, but also you can do it when everybody's meeting at the same time to have this human touch there. So as I said, you can even find a visible space in your office. Obviously, you could do that, as we said in the beginning.
Yeah.
But virtual, you can do that as well, right? You can do it in your system, or you can just do it on different channels. So no matter which tool you use. But I really want to say something very important here, because again, coming back to the topic that we are not kids, not in the kindergarten. If you do this wrong, then kudos are completely meaningless and are nonsense.
Yeah, okay? It's a simple tool, but you can do it wrong. Yeah. That would be my next question.
Sorry.
Caution with kudo cards. Because you can do also wrong, yes.
Yeah, exactly. So what's your question? How?
Experience. I also always tell virtual leaders, or I call them virtual leaders now, people who lead a virtual team, they should over-communicate with the team. So regarding communication, but I think with the kudo cards, you have to be careful not to over feedback people or over appreciate people, because in my experience, people expect the reward and then it's lost, or the effect is lost.
Yeah, you're very right. That's exactly. So you don't want to. That's actually really interesting what you say. I wanted to say something very different. Not very different, something, a different aspect also to consider. But that's really interesting what you said. Yeah, it's you know, if you keep doing something over and over again, either people start taking it for granted. And then it's purpose. So you really have to make sure that it's something special, something people look forward to, something that make them engaged and really fosters motivation, trust, collaboration, and also that it prevents isolation, because that's why you should use it in remote teams. But what I wanted to say is that before you even start with kudo cards, because kudo cards are a tool, okay? But, you know, I can buy tools for my apartment, but the problem is it's ready and I don't even need to use them. Or I'm going to buy these tools, I mean, you know, screws and so on, and a drill, you know, or things like that. But even if I have that, that doesn't mean I know how to use them right. So the same thing applies to your company culture, to your entire company, basically. So the first thing that you should even think about, what's the purpose? What's the purpose of your team, of every position, of your company? What's the whole vision, okay? What's the whole goal, okay? Do your people understand it? That's the deeper motivation. When you look for people to join your team, what's their internal motivation again, right? So that they understand that when you give them a kudo card, it's not just, oh, you did well, you're good, or you're bad, and they're like...
I think the feedback has to be honest so that people... that there's effect on the reward. So when people think the feedback is not honest or the kudo card is not honest, they think it's kindergarten.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, because when you just tell them, when you just give people feedback based on your own bias, okay, and you're not able to justify it and be completely bias-free, then it's complete nonsense, right? So there are different feedback techniques, by the way, that you can use, but that's a different topic. But try to relate to a certain situation versus your expectations. Exactly. So you said, Nadine, that over-communicate. And that's very important, because the problem is that we sometimes in our heads, we think that people know what we expect, but they don't know because they're not in our heads. And then it turns out that we sometimes give somebody feedback, which is completely meaningless, because we think like, oh, whatever, I just did it on my own. But if we don't give them honest feedback, they will never change. They will never be able to do better, right?
Yeah. But I think over-communication is good practice, but over-sending kudo cards is a bad practice. I think that teams have to find a timeline when they send out the kudo cards. Or as a leader, you should recognize good practice and then write it down and then send out the kudo card once in a week, or not every day when you see a good practice, because every day or too often, then people, yeah, it's not effect on it. Yeah, it's like when you send out a gift, or every day would be Christmas. It would nothing yeah. special. So it should be something special. So it's a good practice to write down what you recognized without sending a kudo card, and then have a reminder in your calendar when you send out the kudo cards. And you have to find out what timeline your people and your team needs.
Yeah, absolutely. And definitely, you should really start with a framework when you do it, occasions and how, because if you just start doing it randomly, then as you said, it's going to be meaningless, and people will don't. If you do it too much, then people will expect it, which is bad, and then it loses its meaning, okay? And then if you do it without a justified framework, then it's going to be ridiculous, because you may give somebody a kudo card and somebody else who performed better or equally good won't receive it. And that's not really a practice that you want to implement.
Yeah. Thank you, Nadia. I think if I can have a conclusion, it was a great discussion about learning and experience. I think the conclusion is that it's a really, kudo cards a really effective practice and effective way of appreciating the colleagues and the team members and the people in your team. I also think in these hard and special times, we have to take responsibility to support our colleagues and team members. So it's a simple practice when you do it, when you don't do it wrong. And this also can improve the team bond and generate positivity overall. And also can enhance collaboration when you say, okay, my work is recognized, and then, I would like to do my work very best. And yeah, that's my feedback, my overall feedback on kudo cards. Would you like to add something, or you have the last word as my guest?
Oh, thank you. I think that we've touched the topic broadly. However, if you feel that you want to implement kudo cards, I hope that that was a great inspiration. And there's definitely a lot to research in terms of this. Don't rush into it right now just because we said that kudo cards are great. But think about a deeper meaning, think what you want to achieve, and ask your people also what they expect, okay, yes. In terms of appreciation practices. That's really important.
Okay, thank you very much, Nadia, for your time and for this very interesting discussion about learning experience. I think we covered topic very well, and described the practice. And yeah, stay safe in this time, and we meet personally in face to face next year.
Yeah, we're planning it.
Very really sure. Okay, Nadia, have a nice day. Bye.
Bye.
Ja, herzlich willkommen zu einer weiteren Folge im Virtual Team Heroes Podcast und zu einer weiteren Folge in der Podcast-Serie Remote Work 2020, How It Started, How It's Going. Und ich freue mich sehr, dass ich heute als Gast Christian Reschke begrüßen darf. Ich kenne Christian Reschke schon sehr, sehr lange, schon ein paar Jahre. Und ich weiß, dass Christian mit seiner Agentur Kühlhaus sehr viel im Bereich New Work bereits vor der Pandemie gemacht hat und hierbei schon sehr viel Erfahrung hat. Und Christian kann bestimmt spannende Einblicke geben, wie Kühlhaus und er persönlich das Jahr 2020 erlebt hat. Hallo Christian, schön, dass du heute da bist. Bitte stell dich doch kurz vor, so dass unsere Zuhörer ein Bild von dir bekommen, wer du bist und was du machst.